This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, man, it almost feels like Ask Dr. Jesse Friday's here already, but it's not. It's not. That's tomorrow. Email your questions to Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. In case you missed it, we've made a big transition on the show. Just felt that it was time to start referring to myself in the third person. I feel like we're obviously here. All right. So the Oracle is going to, I'll try the best I can. I'll try the best I can to maintain that throughout really the rest of my life. We'll see how it goes over when I get home tonight from the show. I can see there possibly being some resistance at home. I can see. No, I'm serious, Chris. I'm not sure the wife's going to go for it, but we'll see. All right, let's do a little roundup on where we're at here before we get to the baby formula thing. One, I have this question, and I've been trying to work out in my head why it is, but I can't quite figure it out. Why do the communists constantly assign names and nicknames to people that are awesome? I mean, they do this to me all the time. They'll email into the show and they'll be like, "Jerk Jesse." Yeah, that's right. That's fine. I hope you know that I think that you're a mean jerk. Yeah, I am. I've said that several times. I actually brag about it on the show. I don't understand. Joe Biden gets up and he's talking about Donald Trump, calls him the MAGA King.
Under my predecessor, the great MAGA King.
The great MAGA King? That does not make Donald Trump sound bad at all. That makes him sound awesome. And this is something they do routinely. They're always trying to throw some label on us that makes us sound good, and I can't figure out why. And I need to do this. With all due respect, she is the vice president. The Senate had that horrible abortion bill shot down yesterday, and Dome stepped in. She was presiding over the failed vote, and Dome chose to speak on abortion after. Here's how that went.
The majority of the American people believe in defending a woman's right, her choice, to decide what happens to her own body. And this vote clearly suggests that the Senate is not where the majority of Americans are on this issue. It also makes clear that a priority for all who care about this issue, a priority should be...
Yeah, no one cares. Look, if anybody knows about making choices with their body, it's Kamala Harris. But we will move... What, Chris? It's fine. We can make jokes. We're moving on. All right, we're moving on from here. Before I forget, Daniel Turner, my friend Daniel Turner, is coming on about 30 minutes from now to talk about energy. Because I'm going to ask him more specifics, not general boring crap. I hate doing that. This diesel shortage, They're threatening a diesel shortage. We're going to ask him about that and leases and Biden and whatnot. Scrolling on through, let's get down to Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor. He is all kinds of all about solving problems.
For months, the brave people of Ukraine have been fighting valiantly in a war they did not ask for. Their defense of their homeland from the Russian invasion has already far surpassed the expectations of all the skeptics. Ukraine is not asking anybody else to do their fighting for them. They ask only for the resources they need to defend themselves against this lawless aggression.
Yeah, by the way, all that's true. Good for Ukraine and good for the Ukrainian people. They've put up one heck of a fight. I'm not dogging on them, but I want people to understand, no matter where you stand on anything, any kind of spending about anything, whether it be Ukraine, military, wherever you stand on spending, everyone does understand there's no money, right? There's no money left. It's all gone. And we are facing hyperinflation on top of sky-high interest rates because these losers decided to stop an economy for a virus, for a survivable virus. They're even out there saying on camera that that's why the economy's bad. It's not just me. This is Biden's advisor.
This is a consequence of having an effective strategy against the pandemic.
It wasn't an effective strategy, and the world is facing a Great Depression. So back to what I was just saying. Money here, money there. Do you support sending money to here? Or should we send money to Taiwan? Or what about money for this? There's no more money. There's no more money. That's one. Two, these people are monsters. They really are legitimately monsters. Did you hear this lady, Representative Katie Porter? She's out there talking about population control. There's not another way to hear this.
President Biden has said that inflation is the number one priority for the Biden White House to try to get under control right now. How does inflation compare to this newly important, in the sense of the Supreme Court decision pending, abortion issue? How do those two issues compare?
Well, I don't think they compare. I think they actually reinforce each other. So
pay attention here. Pay attention. She was asked about inflation and abortion. Now pay attention to her answer, because boy, they just reveal themselves if you let them talk.
The fact that things like inflation can happen and it can become more expensive to feed your kids and to fuel your car is exactly why people need to be able to be in charge of how many mouths they're going to have to feed. So I think the fact that we're seeing this jump in expenses, that we're seeing people having to pay more in the grocery store, pay more at the pump, pay more for housing, is a reason that people are saying, I need to be able to make my own decisions about when and if to start a family. So I don't think we're going to see them. I don't think it's like about comparing them or contrasting them. I think they reinforce for people just how big of a responsibility it is to take care of a family.
Look, inflation's going up. Kill your baby. I don't know why. Look, if you're stressing about inflation, you can't afford to have that baby. Just go have your baby murdered. These people. All right. Speaking of babies, the kind of theme, sometimes we do themes here on the show. It's what the Oracle likes to do, Chris. Sometimes we do themes here on the show, and sometimes we don't. But today's is kind of a, they hate you and they're against you. That's the basic theme. And we've been talking about the FBI. We're going to have Daniel Turner on to talk about the oil and gas leases. We were talking about them turning criminals loose. We have mothers out there right now across the country, young mothers, young fathers with babies that need formula. This is a big deal. The Biden administration is now being forced to answer questions about the formula they need. And some of these answers are not good. Right now, one of the big bottlenecks, the FDA. There's a baby formula place that wants permission to open back up again. They're telling the FDA, we'll do whatever we have to do. The FDA's been stonewalling them for 2 months. No word. The Biden administration is doing this on purpose, but they're doing something else. They're sending pallets of baby formula to illegal immigrants. A nationwide shortage of baby formula has sent mothers desperately rushing from store to store, has evaded one lucky group, illegal immigrants detained by Border Patrol. According to videos posted by a Florida lawmaker, the Biden administration has been shipping pallets of baby formula to migrant holding facilities. Quote, they're sending pallets and pallets of baby formula to the border, said Republican Representative Kat Kamek. What a name. In one of two online postings yesterday. Meanwhile, in our own district at home, we cannot find baby formula, she added. They hate you. These people hate us. They do. They hate our guts. Look, on top of the baby formula, the prices right now are so out of control, and they're trying to make them worse. I've played this for you before. Remember, on top of baby formula, on top of criminals getting out of jail, we can't afford gas. We can't afford to heat our homes, and this problem is getting worse. And this is what Democrats have said throughout.
We know, you know, we have got to still reckon with the impact of climate change. That clean energy transition is not just coming, it is here.
There is no amount of domestic production that we can do when we're dealing with a volatile global commodity where the price is set globally. There's no amount of domestic production we can do to reduce or eliminate our vulnerability as a country to that volatility. The only way to do that is to reduce the energy intensity of the economy overall, which means shifting to cleaner sources of energy.
It is just not tenable. It should motivate us to accelerate the transition to clean energy.
They're doing this on purpose. The destruction is intentional. All right. Now that's the bad news. I have some good news. I might get to a couple emails next. Maybe not, but I have some good news. I'll get to some emails. Then we're going to get to Daniel Turner in 15 minutes. All that still on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to there, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the future and how ugly it might be. We all know that. I don't need to belabor the point. We are going to need strong men leading us in the future. With testosterone levels at an all-time low, how could we ever hope to be that guy? You realize, get this, testosterone levels in the average man is half of what it was even 50 years ago. That's not ancient history. 50 years ago, testosterone levels were double. Chalk is here to help. CHAQ. A company of patriots, they freaking hate communism, and they understand exactly why the commies want us all weak and pathetic. Right now, if you go to choq.com and use the code Jesse, that gets you 35% off store-wide. May I recommend the Male Vitality Stack? It'll have your testosterone up 20% in 90 days, according to clinical studies. 20% in 90 days. Chalk.com, choq.com, promo code Jesse.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Smoking lucky strikes and wearing nylons. Goofy
band. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. It's tough to beat ZZ Top, man. It is tough to beat ZZ Top. All right, you ready for some good news? I'm ready for some good news. Let's do a little rewind. Remember when Florida passed this very, very simple law, and the law, all it said was, hey, teachers, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you are, what you believe, who you love, don't talk to the kids about it. Don't talk to kindergartners about it. Keep that stuff out of school. That's all it said. It was the most basic law in the world. And all of a sudden, Democrats freaked. They started calling it the Don't Say Gay Bill, just being wild about it. And then something else happened on the heels of all this. While Democrats were freaking about it, people like Christopher Rufo, people like the Libs of TikTok account on Twitter, they started exposing these videos of teachers going nutso. I'm going to play for you right now. I played it a little bit earlier in the show. I understand it's a little over the top, but look, it is what it is. These are science teachers. What you're hearing right now, this person is a science teacher. Well, I'll just let them take it away.
Tips on how you can be a better intersex ally. When it comes to inclusive language, oftentimes people tend to use phrases like people with penises or people with vaginas rather than saying male and female or men and women. While this can absolutely be inclusive for trans people, unfortunately it's not always the most inclusive language for intersex people. My advice is to use language that focuses on function and not just form. That means focusing on the actual function that you're talking about, such as people who can get pregnant, people who can get other people pregnant, people who are at risk of testicular cancer, and so on and so forth. This is much more inclusive because there are intersex people who are born with a vagina but don't have a uterus.
Okay, okay, we got it, insane person. We understand. You're an insane person. And so these videos started coming out. Well, on top of all these videos, video came out of Disney employees. Not one or two. We're talking the people who make the shows your kid watches. And these videos were shocking of these people admitting things on camera. Remember that high up Disney executive? Oh, I got one kid who's a trans and one who's a pansexual. I still don't even know what pansexual means, nor do I have any interest in finding out. Remember that one producer, LaToya Ravenow, the actual producer making the shows for your children? She gets caught on, well, it's not even caught on camera. She's saying it into camera at a company-wide meeting. Oh, I put gay stuff in everything. I don't have a so secret gay agenda. You want to hear the pansexual lady, though? This is a Disney high-up executive. Listen to this psycho.
I'm here as a mother of two queer children, actually, one transgender child and one pansexual child. And that was the thing that really got me. I have heard so much from so many of my colleagues over the course of the last couple of weeks. I feel a responsibility to speak, not just for myself, but for them, to all of us. We had an open forum last week at 20th where, again, the home of really incredible, groundbreaking LGBTQIA stories over the years, where one of our execs stood up and said,
"Okay, all right, Chris, I've heard enough of this turbo freak. Play that other producer here real quick. Pansexual child. Good grief, lady, you nutball."
I worked at small studios most of my career, and I'd heard, you know, hear whispers. Like, I'd heard things like, oh, you know, they won't let you show this at a Disney show. And I'm like, okay. So I was a little, like, sus when I started. But then my experience was bafflingly the opposite of what I had heard. The showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and, like, our leadership over there has been so welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. And so, like, I felt like maybe it was that way in the past, but I guess, like, something must have happened in the last, like they are turning it around, they're going hard. And then all that, like, momentum that I felt, like, that sense of, I don't have to be afraid. Let's have these two characters kiss. Let's, in the background, this, like, I was just, wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to, like, if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But, like, I just was like, no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
And then something happened. Disney came out hard against Florida in their bill. And Florida, this is really the first time I can remember this, chose to use the state power they had to punch Disney in the nose. Ron DeSantis called a special session. His legislature deserves a lot of credit too. And they got together and they said, okay, Disney, you want to groom kids? You want to make sure kids can be groomed in our state? Game on. Your tax status, your special tax exempt status, gone. Have fun. Well, we had some people on our side who didn't like that.
This goes against our principles. I don't like this. This doesn't make me comfortable, guys. This isn't conservative.
Headline. Hollywood executives much more nervous about abortion activism after the Disney Florida fight. This is from my buddy David Ng at Breitbart. Hollywood executives are reportedly hesitant about taking a public stance against the Supreme Court's expected reversal of Roe versus Wade, as they look to avoid any kind of public relations disaster the Walt Disney Company is currently experiencing after it picked a fight with Florida. Studio and talent agency executives who lean overwhelmingly to the left have become much more nervous when it comes to responding to politically divisive issues, including abortion. The firestorm Disney is going through over Florida's parental rights and education law has become a Hollywood cautionary tale and a template of what not to do in the case of the abortion debate. Now and then, if you want your people safe, you gotta cut off someone's head and put it on a spike in front of the army so they know exactly what's at stake.
Instead of whining about the one state that did something, every person out there should be mailing the state of Florida a thank you letter. Before Florida did that, every one of these scumbags in Hollywood would be coming out right now championing baby murder. Instead, they're not. Why? Because they finally felt some kind of fear. That's a good thing. Make your enemy fear you. All right, Daniel Turner, Power of the Future is going to join me next. We're going to talk about the future. Talk about fear. Diesel shortage? Uh-oh.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and joining me now, as promised, is my friend Daniel Turner with Power the Future. Daniel, headline, first thing I see when I wake up this morning is the Biden administration cancels Alaska oil and gas lease sale. All right, it's not exactly news this administration is bad, stupid, maybe evil. That just seems flat out cruel with gas prices this high.
It is, and it also flies in the face of his regular comments where he says, I am doing everything in my power to lower oil and gas prices. Well, if you really are, then you wouldn't be canceling lease sales, right? You would at least begrudgingly allow them to go forward. So not only is he not doing everything in his power to lower prices, he's doing everything in his power to exacerbate this situation. This is exactly the result he wants. If anyone thinks, wow, he's incompetent or he's stupid, I mean, there may be some truth to that, but this is exactly the outcome he desires. He wants to make fossil fuels ridiculously expensive. And if that hurts you and your family, he doesn't care.
Daniel, before we get into the rest of this, can you explain to people what an oil and gas lease is? I mean, we use these terms a lot, like everyone understands what that means. A lot of people don't have any idea what we're talking about. What does it mean?
And a lot of people in the great state of Texas wouldn't know what we're talking about because Texas has mostly private property. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of the country, the land is owned by the federal government. There are states like Nevada and Utah and Alaska where the vast majority of the land is federal land. And the governor really doesn't have that much control over anything. And so the government controls around 250 million acres of land. And you need access to do it, whether you want to go hiking, right, whether you want to graze your cattle. Do you remember the Clive and Bundy episode from a few years ago in the Obama administration? That was a family that had access to land where the Obama administration said, you know what, we're not letting you graze your cattle anymore. And they said, we've been doing this since before this was a state. We've been doing this for six generations. And literally a shootout ensued, right? So you need access to that land. Some of that land has a lot of oil and gas beneath it. And for 150 years now, the government's been saying, okay, well, we'll let you drill, we'll let you have permit and access to it and see if there's any oil and gas. But if the government doesn't allow you to have access, you can't do anything on that land.
Daniel, I know this is a really stupid question, but why does the federal government own 250 million acres of land?
I know. Exactly. Why do they own any land? And this is, if you're a statist, right, if you believe in the power of big government, you want everything to be in the hands of Washington, D.C., and that includes land. It's not as much a problem in the East Coast, where I am originally from, because it's the earliest part of the country and it's always been original colonies. But as you started going further west and we started expanding and we had 40 acres and a mule and all of that, that was all had to be controlled by somebody. Before there were states, it was just the big bad government. And then when they turned it into a state, they were like, eh, but we're going to keep some of this. Now, there's part of the federal land I don't mind. You know, Yellowstone National Park. Mm-hmm. Yay, okay. But for the most part, why does the government own any land? If anything, we should be trying to get rid of that hands and that land and put it back in the hands of the states.
Speaking with Daniel Turner, Power of the Future. All right, Daniel, we're hearing a lot of doom and gloom right now about diesel. We had a big diesel guy come out yesterday, said the East Coast might be rationing it. Before we get into what that might look like, why are we having such a diesel problem specifically?
So everything that comes from the ground, what we call crude oil, regardless of where it comes from, Texas, Alaska, Saudi Arabia, crude oil has to be refined, meaning it has to be brought to a refinery. The vast majority of the world's refineries are on our Gulf Coast. Right. America is the world's leading refiner. China is trying very hard, by the way, to catch up. And if they ever get a hold of the refining of the world, we're in deep doo-doo. But right now, America is the world's leading refiner. All of that stuff has to go through a process of incredible amount of heat and pressure to turn that crude into some sort of product. A lot of that product is gas that we use for our cars. But of that gas, there are 60, 70, 80 different blends based upon state rules, based upon seasonal rules. And so you get your huge barrel of crude, to put it in the simplest terms, and say you have to reprogram the machine because now I'm going to produce this product. Well, now I got to stop. I got to flush out the system. I got to reprogram it again and create another product. And every time you do that, you take a pause. It takes time. It takes labor, and it slows down the process. Diesel is a very important petrochemical product, but it is not one that we refine the most of. We mostly refine gas. So just in terms of volume, we don't refine enough diesel. We're not refining enough gas either, but we're definitely not refining enough diesel. The challenge about the diesel is that look at the machinery that uses it. Yes, some people have a Ford F-350 that's a diesel engine. That's not critical. I mean, it's important for you, don't get me wrong, but it's not critical. What is critical are your combines. And your farm equipment and your tractor trailers that are delivering goods around the country. So if diesel shortages continue, our economy shuts down.
Good. Okay, Daniel, now let's talk about how serious a problem this is. I don't want to be doom and gloom or make people scared, but when I have big shots say we're going to talk about rationing, that makes me a little bit scared. How bad is the problem?
Yeah, and remember the good old days. I've been coming on your show for like 5 years now. Remember the good old days when we used to just laugh and have a good time and talk about things? I got to tell you, I am tired of doom and gloom. I am tired of being I do Fox all the time. I do other programs, and it's just always pessimism and war. But we are. We're under attack from multiple angles. And if you attack energy, you attack life, right? Everything needs energy. That's just the way our economy works. And right now, Jesse, I got to tell you, I am doom and gloom because we're refining less. Our demand is not going away. And the only thing that's going to stop this is producing more, which the Biden administration won't do. Heck, he just stopped lease sales. So that means the only alternative is a diet. And when I say the American company, the American country, the economy goes on a diet, I don't mean that in a, hey, let's get in better shape way. I mean you are now going to forego certain things. We're going to have less food. We're going to have less travel. We're going to have less opportunity. We're going to have less of an economy. And until John Kerry gives up his private jet and he goes on a diet, Joe Biden flies Air Force One home to Delaware every weekend. He's not going on a diet. You think Bill Gates is going on a diet or Zuckerberg? These guys know they are going to be absolutely fine. So as the prices go crazy, It's only now for the privileged few. And now we have basically Colombia, you know, or Sri Lanka or any other third world country where the rich live great and everyone else is poor. America's never had that. We've been a robust middle class, one of the few countries in the world that is a middle class country. But we are slowly becoming rich people can afford this and everyone else, life stinks. And that's, you want to see chaos break loose? Holy cow, Jesse. So doom and gloom. I wish I had happier forecasting, buddy, but I don't. I'm so pessimistic and fearful. It's not fun, quite frankly.
No. Well, look, we appreciate you giving it to us straight. Daniel Turner, Power of the Future. Thank you so much, my brother.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, Jesse. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, look, the truth is I'm the Oracle, Chris. And the Oracle believes not everything can have a happy ending. Quit. Stop. Everyone grow up. Stop. All right. We still have a bunch of fun and fun to have on the show. I'm going to get to some emails next. I've been lax on the emails. I've been lazy, flat out lazy. Shut up, Chris. I've been lazy on the emails. I'm getting to those next. Now let's talk about what the future might bring. Might be ugly. I don't know. I hope it's not. Might be though. Are you able to hit what you're aiming at with your weapon? How often do you practice? You know, if you get a Mantis X system, again, this is what the Marines use. This is what the Green Berets use. You can own it. Military-grade technology. It attaches right to your weapon. You can dry fire practice in your home. You know, if you get a Mantis X system, you're going to get better. 94% of shooters say they get better within 20 minutes. It's not just target practice inside of your home without firing a shot. It's drills. It's feedback. You will get better. In these times, let's make sure we're ready, right? Let's not hope. Let's make sure we're ready at all times. What's the harm in it? No one's ever said, man, I wish I was a worse shot. Go to MantisX.com and get one today. MantisX.com.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. You know that song's about drugs? I didn't know. Look, my whole childhood, I would listen and jam out to all these classic rock songs. Totally innocent. Totally innocent. Oh, yeah. Last Dance with Mary Jane for Tom Petty. Oh, I would sing along. And let me play. Let me tell you, I can shred with the air guitar. And I was singing along. And then as I get older, I start to realize, all these guys are high. Everybody. They were high when they wrote it. They were high when they're playing it. We grew up listening to a bunch of druggies. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. The whole Friday show is you asking me anything. Doesn't have to be political. Let's get to some emails as promised, because I have some good news and some ugly news. Oh, I shouldn't have said I'm sorry. The Oracle has some good news and some ugly news, Chris. But we're going to... It just feels like it's time to break it up a little bit. You know how I can tell?
Taste it.
I can taste it. Dr. Freedom is not free. Parents in Weld County, that's in North Colorado, are in uproar over the discovery of a book in my 7-year-old nephew's school library. The book is called Gender Queer. And it includes nothing short of, I don't even want to read that, some not PG scenes, we'll just put it that way. The silver lining to this is that 3 months ago, 3 proactive conservative fathers took action, ran, and were successful in acquiring school board seats and are preparing to take this issue head on. Thought you would appreciate conservative parents getting involved, as you have been urging for months. And he says, people want more Dragon Force intro music. Nice job, Chris. No, they don't. All right, no one's ever even heard of that. Chris, please, please. Back to what he was talking about, though. Remember, we all want to do something. You do. I do. I will be totally frank. As you know, I'm not exactly a panicky person. But sometimes I allow myself to get in a borderline funk when I'm looking at all this damage they're doing, and I look around and I want to save my country, and I don't, what are we supposed to do? and we feel like there's nothing we could do. We feel powerless. What are you supposed to do? Get yourself appointed to be the head of the FBI? Are you supposed to become a senator tomorrow? The truth is, we have all the power we need. These school board races, the only reason we don't own the school boards in this country, we haven't cared. We haven't cared enough to try before, and therefore our enemies have been educating our kids for decades. They were very, very purposeful about getting their butts on these school boards and educating our kids to hate themselves and hate you and hate their country. And like I said, this is Weld County in Colorado. This is a blood red county. You would fall over stunned if you knew how many blood red areas in this country have basically entirely blue school boards because the red parents don't run. Or I should say, they haven't run. They're starting to run now. They're starting to get angry, and they're running, and they're taking back the school boards. We have tons of power. Get involved in these school board races in a couple things. Maybe you legitimately can't. Fine. Help someone who is. But I will say this. You're probably prone to say to yourself, because this is human nature. You know, human nature is to doubt yourself. Not that the Oracle would know about that, Chris. No, but human nature is to doubt yourself. So you're probably tempted to say something like, I'm just a fill in the blank, and that's why I can't run for school board. I can't run for school board. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I can't run for school board. I just work construction, Jesse. What do I know? I can't run for school board. I'm just a this. I'm just a that. No. Normal people are what this country needs in leadership. Normal people. What we don't need anymore is the overeducated egghead idiots that currently run this country and run this country into the ground, I might add. You're exactly what we need. I'm just a... No. Set that aside. Don't ever say that to yourself again. Jesse, Chris deserves all the joking aimed at him. Every workplace needs someone to pick on. 100% right, by the way. My question is, why don't we make fun of Michael? Is he weird? He's very weird. Very strange person. No, actually, I'll tell you why I don't think Michael gets made fun of enough. I'm here in the radio studio. The radio studio. They made us this radio studio. And I have a piece of glass. You know about the piece of glass that goes through to this office of mine. That's where I knock out my amazing naps. In this office, they have the piece of glass so people can come down. The suits can come down and watch me do a show, which is weird. You would even want to do that, but setting that aside. Then I have another piece of glass that helps me look through to the production room where Chris and Michael sit. And they have all these buttons and computers and stuff in there. They do all kinds of megahertz and stuff like that. Chris, I'll tell you all about it. But Michael also works on my TV show. Remember, I have a TV show every night on the First TV, 9 p.m. Eastern. I look pretty good, if I say so myself. All right, anyway, I have a TV show on the First at 9 p.m. Eastern. Michael is sitting out of my line of sight. Chris is right in my line of sight. If Michael wants to chime in, and he sometimes does, he kind of has to jump over. So what I'm saying is it's not that Michael's weird. It's that he's forgettable. Oracle. There is no need for you to tell us that the vehicle you leased. We know you. It's a V6 Charger. We also know you're too cheap to get the nice floor mats, so your boots have probably already ruined the carpet. In 2 weeks, you'll be doing hits from Jimmy Jerkwater's New and Used. And if your kids are anything like mine, all those Jesse Kelly burgers have made the back seat. I can't say that word because it's a military acronym that stands for something. We cannot say FUBAR on the air. Chris, I would never say FUBAR on the air. Gosh. Mr. Kelly, what was your midlife crisis purchase? He said sweet new ride. Was your midlife crisis purchase a sweet, fully loaded minivan? After all, you are the master of the minivan. You know, that's not nice. It is really not nice how people mock. One, that I like to save money. Two, that I've owned a minivan. Look, we moved to Washington, D.C. I've told you this before. I'd run for Congress twice in Arizona and lost twice. And I got offered a job working for a political group in D.C. And they offered me $75,000 a year. It's the most I'd ever made in my life. And I thought it was a lot of money. And then I moved back to Washington, D.C. and I just didn't fully grasp cost of living, we could not keep our head above water. So we had two little kids, and we had no choice but to get a minivan, okay? Yes, I've owned a minivan. I've driven a minivan. Do you feel better laughing at me? All right. We have more emails, and actually, I have a little bit of dark news about drugs. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.